Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and this is Lori Kitchen. I hope everyone is well. Here you go.
Yes, ma'am. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Tonight's topic is racism in America. Systemic racism, blatant racism, covert and overt racism. How does it affect you personally? What do you want to do when you see racism, and how can we stop it in America? Subscribe to the show as well as to our Facebook page at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. When you call in, say your first name and where you're calling from. Again, the number is 515-605-9802. We look forward to hearing from everyone. And at the start of the show now, we'll have Angry Soccer Mom. She has a podcast on YouTube. It's on every Wednesdays, starting at 8 o'clock. And Angry Soccer Mom, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Great. Thanks for having me.
Nice to hear from you
again. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So your show is about racism in America and how we can combat racism and stop it in its tracks. So, you know, you have a good following and you're on every Wednesday, correct?
Yeah, I took a break, a little bit of a hiatus in the summer, but I've been doing it for years. So I'm on a little bit of a break right now, but my YouTube channel is still fairly functional. It's called Angry Soccer Mom on YouTube, and we discuss the topic anti-racism, bigotry, inequality, and corruption in America, in the United States. Educational.
Yeah, so,
it's meant
okay.
for. Go ahead.
Yeah. So okay. So racism has always been in America. You know, even before, way before Donald Trump. Even way before 1776, when the settlers came, the Native Americans were there and everything. So America was built and formed on racism and bloodshed. Would you agree with that? What's your perspective on, you know, the climate in America now in terms of, you know, the racist problem?
You're directing the question at me? David?
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Trump did not invent racism by any means, but he has a very strong background in it. And quite frankly, he's the leader. He's the de facto leader of the modern, Klan at this point. He's not the president yet. He's still running the GOP, and it's because that is who we are in this country. Mm-hmm. And sadly, some people like it that way. So they found their leader. They've been looking for a leader, and they found one.
Yeah.
Sadly.
So white nationalism.
It's working the way our culture was started on white supremacy. It's been based on white supremacy, and we just can't seem to let it go. We have a kind of a sick love affair with systemic racism, and we've been played the fool because it's not good for us either. But we don't, it's like not working hard in school because you just want to have fun. Well, sure, we're all loving it, you know, like yay us, we can pretend we're superior. But the bottom line is, we know we're not, and the damage is to us as well. But we don't care because we're getting this some sort of sick gratification from it, you know, benefiting from it, I guess, the best way to put it. So really kind of sad. People don't want to do a deep dive and actually stand up for what's right. It's really pathetic.
Right.
And
with
the misinformation and all the fake news all over the place, you know, people think everyone's opinion is equal, and it's not. It's not. Some people are experts and some people are not. So anyway.
Right. So what would you say to the person who say, oh, no, well, the black people and minorities had the right to vote in 1964, so why the bitching and complaining, you know, because we're over racism and, oh, we elected Barack Obama president, so you know, should move on and stop playing the race card, you know, because I've heard that a lot, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to a person who says that, a white person, you know?
Well, unfortunately, a white person who would say that is speaking from an uneducated and ahistorical perspective. You can say there's no enslaved humans in the U.S. anymore, but you see, it didn't stop. Systemic racism didn't stop when enslaved humans were finally, you know, emancipated. It changed in form, and there's the devil's punch bowl, black codes. Oh my God, there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of race massacres. There's been systemic racism is just embedded in every part of every single, you know, part of life. And,
and
to say that it's over is very, very naive and, you know, it just speaks to the person's, you know, total lack of understanding of what systemic racism is. It's a deep-seated thing. It's not a surface level. We had a black president. I wish that was how it worked. And okay, we had a black president, yay. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's such a strong part of our culture that that's not how it's going to work. And look what happened after we had the black president. We had a push, the pendulum pushed so hard the other way that it's, you know, basically, it's insane. It's really just gone nuts. People have lost their minds. And we regret.
I have a thought, and maybe it's a question as well. Families and friends, mainly families, do you think that, you know, as you go through your life and your families, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, sisters, and then you go into brother-in-laws, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that there is quiet racism in families? Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, it's there, but it's not spoken about, but it is there. And if you were to sit at a dinner table, you know, maybe a joke would be made and, you know, that would maybe be inappropriate. But I do think that racism in families is sometimes hidden for that reason.
Well, absolutely. I think that, you know, obviously it depends on the family. You know, there's, as a white person, and I'm not speaking for white folks, I'm just speaking to white folks. You know, every family is different, and a lot of, you just don't want to talk about the subject matter because it's very upsetting. And so what we do is we don't talk about it. We pretend it's not there. We ignore it. We circumvent it. We do everything in power to not face it. So, you know, I absolutely believe that probably most families that are, you know, white families have covert and probably overt racism, you know, as a part of their culture because our overall culture has it.
Yeah.
So how could it not? I don't think confrontation are probably happening personally, you know, maybe once in a while, but it's a really general question. But part of something I wanted to bring out, that's a good question because part of the thing is this, even if people go along with the, you know, the little, you know, it's kind of like microaggressions and things like that. And it's not called out. That's a terrible thing because little ears are listening and everyone's listening and doing nothing condones. You say nothing, and you know what? You go along with it. But the problem is families, a lot of families don't talk about, don't do that, but they also, they're still living in this era of colorblindness, and they don't talk about it at all. So what you're going to learn if you're in that family is you're going to learn whatever society tells you. So it's a really tough thing, but absolutely, Lori, people,
And the other thing that I believe – and just talking in general to young people, because I love talking to young people better than adults, only because I feel that they have a different perspective in growing up right now, and I don't think that a lot of the young people right now, they don't see color. They don't see race. They don't care. You know, and they have friends, you know, that are black, white, Hispanic, and they don't label them. I've seen that quite a bit. And that kind of makes me happy to see that. I mean, I raised my kids. I raised my family not to judge anyone, you know, because you never know anyone's story. You know, can look at them and they can look happy, but you don't know their story. You don't know the road that they've lived and traveled and about their upbringing. So I taught my family never to judge. You know, I mean, if something, of course, comes to you and you have to defend yourself, that's a different story. But I don't, you know, and that's how I live my life. I'm not a judge of people. I basically try to get to know them, and then, you know, I will make my decision. You know, are they a friend or a foe?
Right. That makes sense. I wanted to jump in for a second because saying when somebody says they don't see color, that's a real cliche microaggression, and I know you didn't mean it that way. But
no.
I think what you're trying to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that a lot of kids, the young folks nowadays, they see color. They're not hated by it. They are friends. They're more
accepting.
Open. They're more accepting. Right. And so,
That's exactly what I meant when I. I meant that they don't see color. They just accept them as they are, you know, and they do not. You know, just because you're sitting next to a Hispanic or, you know, a black, you know, student next to you, they don't make that distinction. You know, a friend is a friend and a classmate's a classmate. That is what I see. But it's not 100%. It's not 100%. But I think it's better than the older generation.
Yeah, it is better than the older generation for sure. But you know, there's a lot to be said about are we going to die off these people who are, but you know, now that it's so much more overt, a lot of people say no, we're actually not going to because of the familiar basically it's a cycle of racism that families promote.
Mm-hmm.
And, it doesn't take much because we live in a society that does it. So unless you're anti-racist. Even if you live in a family that supposedly doesn't see color, which is actually not a compliment. That's not a compliment. We don't want people to not see color because if you don't see color, you don't see the person. But
that's true too. That's a true statement as well.
Right. So you want to see color, but you want to look at everybody as a human that deserves equity and justice and all that. And so, I mean, I know the sentiment of what you're trying to say. I absolutely get that. I think, you know, it's hard to say for me because I know I live in a very liberal area. I've raised my kids to appreciate all humans and whatnot. And they have friends of every race, religion, you know, ability, et cetera. However, I'm in a little bubble here. I'm in a little bubble. I'm in New York State, and it's a very, very liberal state in general. And my children were raised going to protests, and you know, we have a multicultural family, and it's like, so I don't know if it's the norm, but I do know that some people are very glad it's been called out and brought into the open by Trump and his, you know, he's made being racist, like, you know, overtly racist a thing again. And that it was always a thing, but he's made it like almost a right, and it's disgusting. And the only good thing about it is that really is who we are as a nation. I'm sorry, it is. And so once it's been brought out, it's been also being called out left and right. And so, you know, if we don't face it, we're never going to get through it. And that's one of the problems is saying we're in a post-racist era. It's a joke. People are just
that's
white joke.
That's an absolute
joke. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to make us uncomfortable. So, in a way, it's a good thing that we have this, the new, I call them, you know, the the de facto leader of the modern Klan because he is running the GOP and he's not even in the office. And
so do
really
you think that it's too? Do you think it's too late, Angry Soccer Mom, for the GOP to change, or they're long gone over the abyss? They've turned this fringe.
Well,
you mean the MAGA Republicans?
The Republican Party in general, because nobody except for Kissinger and Kissinger, the guy from Illinois, the congressman who's not running again, and Liz Cheney, that's the only two visible people I see challenging Trumpism and MAGA and what have you. Everybody else is silent, you know? So is it too late for the Republican Party to, like, you know, grow up a spine and challenge Trumpism, or, you know, should just accept that the Republican Party is long gone?
Quite frankly, they don't want to. They don't want to. They've had.
No,
I mean, I'm just. This is my opinion. They don't want to. They. This is. I mean, I don't know about you. And people will say, "Oh, you know, I don't understand how hard it is to be a politician." Well, that's true. I don't, but I don't care because guess what? Your personal integrity cannot be bought, and it shouldn't be bought. And if you have to stand up to him. And if you lose your job, then so be it. That is called being, a decent human being. And the fact that almost every single solitary GOP person is willing to sell their soul to support or say nothing, which is the same thing as far as I'm concerned.
It's basically
disgusting.
The same. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's the same thing. And it's disgusting. It's completely disgusting. Mm-hmm. And feel it. Like I said, you know what, the truth be told, and now nobody can, unless they're hiding under a rock, can say, what, we're not heading in the right direction. I think, quite frankly, we are in the twilight of our democracy and very much a done deal. If Trump doesn't get consequences, and I'm not just saying that people who did the crimes and whatnot, but I'm talking about the high up, like Trump.
Mm-hmm.
If he does not have consequences, then he is above the law. And if he is above the law, then we are not living in a democratic republic.
Then
we are not living in
a country.
It's a, what he wants.
We were just talking about, the Republican Party. And just today, Marjorie Taylor Greene harassed Kamala Harris over having a white husband. And this is what she said. Is your husband worth less because he's white? Green tweeted after Harris called for hurricane relief to support people of color who were hit the hardest. I mean,
she's really not a very
disgusting,
like, well-studied person. She's, let's just say, she's not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer when it comes to understanding systemic racism, understanding her own whiteness and how racist she was obviously raised and the very, very cruel, hurtful hate that she spews. I find her to be extremely, extremely ill in character.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she says, I can't even, there's nothing I can say. She needs to get help. She's a sicko. She's a real sicko.
Help is not going to. And this was her tweet. She said, at Kamala Harris, hurricanes do not target people based on the color of their skin. Hurricanes do not discriminate, and neither should the federal government, giving aid to people suffering from the devastation of Hurricane Ian. Is your husband's life worth less because he's white?
It's very surface level and unsophisticated. She's making an argument that isn't fair. It's
exactly.
Whenever there's global warming issues, it's a fact. It's not made up. It does impact the poorest people. It's a fact that the poorest people happen to be because we've made it. That's what our culture's about. People who are in historically marginalized groups. And I think that Marjorie is sophisticated enough in her thinking to be able to understand, do a deep dive and see where she's real surface level. I mean, I don't know how to help her. She doesn't, it's willful ignorance and it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not embarrassed because I'm white. I'm embarrassed for her because she's human and I'm human.
I know.
Another human.
Exactly.
Being a fool.
Mm-hmm.
We're the same.
I'm embarrassed
that
she's a representative. She makes me sick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's, she's definitely, I'm sorry to say, but she's a joke. She's really uneducated and I don't know if she has ever read a book in her life, to be honest. I'm just.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's. I'm not trying to be rude.
You're not being rude. It's the truth.
She's a vile.
I mean,
she's a vile, hurtful person. She's a cruel,
very
vile,
vile.
Hurtful
person. Yeah.
And I don't even know what to say to her other than like, it's not even about politics. She's not a nice person. And
no.
I have another
really
question.
Sure.
Okay. So recently, today, in fact, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas bussed immigrants from Texas to the residence of the vice president.
That was
the second or third time he's done it, you know, and DeSantis in Florida, put some people on the airplane to go to Martha's Vineyard. Now, do you think that move was like blatantly racist or I don't know how else to describe it, but racist, you know? You give up some brown people and immigrants, you know?
It's inhumane. And it's racist.
Mm-hmm.
If they were white people from Sweden, he wouldn't be doing it. If they were white people from anywhere, he wouldn't be doing it. But he and others like him see those people as worth less and can use them as pawns. Because to him, those aren't really people. Those are the others. Those are the, they're not really like him. They're other. And I think what he did was an incredibly inhumane, sick, using people who are basically having the darkest hour of their entire lives, leaving everything behind to come here.
Yeah.
And to select them like that.
And
to
seek asylum.
Hurting.
Yeah.
Hurting someone when they're down, my God, that's unfortunate.
And then lying to them, as to where they're going.
Well, it's just he's treating them inhumanely, like they're not human. When push comes to shove, we're all humans, and I don't care what country, what border you cross, what religion you are, what you identify as, we're all freaking humans. And what he did was he treated them like animals. I mean, that's cruel. That's just
Herd them up like cattle.
Actually, animals treat each other better.
Yeah.
They care
yeah.
for each other
no,
better.
No. Yeah, I'm saying that he rounded them like animals, rounded up them. But the thing is, it stemmed from the 1960s and 1970s during the Cold War, where, the United States sent in the CIA and whoever else to destabilize these countries and put in despots who are, like, loyal to the United States because of the Cold War.
We don't take responsibility for that at all, though. We just think these people are just showing up. Well, why are these people showing up? Maybe we had...
Because we destroyed their countries, and then, the economy is all wrecked.
And then we left and said, oh, tough beans.
Yes.
Let's not pretend that these people are just heading our way for no reason. We had a part in destabilizing their countries, and it's really interesting. So easy to propagandize, and people don't. Honestly, I don't think people even know it. But that's why you gotta learn your own history, racial history, or else you are ignorant to understand the issues that we're facing today. If you don't know your own racial history, your opinion is basically a moot point because you don't know why things happen now, based on history. So,
I have a question for Ron DeSantis. One more thing. I have a question for Ron DeSantis and even Marco Rubio. The same way how the Cubans come on American soil with a wet foot, dry foot policy, Why they're not busing and sending immigrants on plane from Cuba? Why? Because Cubans predominantly vote Republican, you know, so when it suits mm-hmm. their political interests, you know, they turn a blind eye to color. But, you know, when it's from Central America or South American countries, so, oh, no, yeah, you can't help us. You're worthless. You know, go to Kamala Harris' house and give her help.
You know, David,
absolutely.
I've never understood why mm-hmm. they vote Republican. I've never understood that. Does anyone have an answer as to why?
Reason why? Yeah, you said I'm your soccer mom.
What's that?
Oh, you can explain to Lori why?
Yeah, I watched a special on, you know, and Cubans do predominantly go for, here's the thing, when they come to the United States, think what they're coming from. They're coming from a dictatorship. And they want our ways, and it's kind of interesting. I saw a special on, oh my goodness, explaining the intricacies of why, and I'm not really, I don't know enough about the topic to get into it, but it is, they want to be Americans. They, for some reason, they are voting against their own best interest because they, I can't remember exactly what the reason is, but I'll try to think of that special, and you guys can put it in the comments.
This is my perspective. The Cubans had Fidel Castro for years, since 1961 with the revolution, and America was expecting Fidel Castro to like bow down to him and other North American, South American countries and Central American and Caribbean countries. The height of the Cold War. And because Fidel Castro refused to do that, America, you know, put our boot in Cuba's neck under Castro. And Castro didn't have any choice but to go a communist. Because the communists were willing to help him and what have you, you know. And, you know, he had a democratic socialism, had a non-aligned movement with Trinidad, Ghana, Jamaica, whoever else. And America didn't like that Fidel Castro, you know, so independent, and he pushed communism in their own backyard and everything, hence the bear pigs, you know. So, you know, again, it stemmed from the Cold War, and, you know, the people under Castro went through hell. Not saying Fidel Castro is an angel. He wasn't, you know, but at the same time, if Castro and Cuba didn't go communist and get the help of the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, then, you know, it would turn a modern-day Angola or even modern-day Zimbabwe where, you know, like the currency would worth nothing. And, you know, it would just go to hell, basically. So when Cubans flee from Castro, they came to the United States through Miami. And, you know, of course, the wet foot, dry foot policy. They have that for Cubans. Why they don't have it for other Central American countries and other, you know, South American countries, because this is votes in Cubans, kind of anti-communist and Republicans beat the chest and say, yeah, we're anti-communist. Democrats are, you know, liberal communists and blah, 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 you know. Yeah. So the fall for the Republican propaganda of, you know, Democrats being like Castro and whoever else, you know, and the Republican Party saying, yeah, we're your saviors. You know, so come vote for us. We give you citizenship. We give you that. We give you this. You know, and hence you have a big population in Miami who are Cuban, all American Cubans, who vote Republican en masse, as angry soccer moms say, that the vote against their interests.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
Just because of that
for
one
sure.
time.
Yeah. Well, they even in our country, they do that.
Well, a lot of the Cubans have come to escape socialism and the dictatorship, and the last thing they want to be is to be more like Cuba. And so they become, maybe they're anti-democrat. I can't speak for the reasons, but I know communism, it's a backlash to communism, possibly, their desperation to leave. I don't really know. It's a strange phenomenon to me. But I know there is a reason, because I did see a special on it, but it was such a long time ago, I'm not crystal clear on what the reasoning was.
Yeah.
But it's definitely true.
It all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, you have any more questions for Angry Soccer Mom, Lori? Because, you know, she just has half an hour there for like a couple minutes.
No, I think, mm-hmm. I think we had a nice discussion. It was nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys.
Yes, definitely. Wednesday nights, she's on a hiatus now, but you can find Angry Soccer Mom on YouTube channel. Just type in Angry Soccer Mom. She's usually on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. And
thank you.
Giving us a chance
to perspective.
Thanks for
having me. Great to talk to you guys.
We'll talk to you. Bye-bye. Take care.
All right.
It was nice talking to you.
That was Angry Soccer Mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, she'll have the show for years, Angry Soccer Mom on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's getting a lot of hits and comments. And she'll do, like, two-minute videos. She'll make a whole show of it on Wednesday nights and everything, having guest speakers and even guest co-hosts and everything. Because we really have a problem in America with racism, you know? Like, back in the 1700s, it wasn't Native Americans. In the 1800s, when the Italians and the Germans came, they had problems. The Irish came in the 1920s. You know, so everybody goes through that. You get what I'm saying? But consistent racism is against black people who were brought here as slaves, you know? And it's like the white, you know, patriarchy that's have a stranglehold on power, but because of the whole, you know, 21st century, where everybody is like evolved basically in their thinking and who to marry, the education and everything. They say, oh, okay, racism is just, you know, BS basically. So I'm going to marry who I love, whether no matter what color or religion they are. And now what we're having now is the white people losing power, you know, the patriarchal white man on top. You know, and keeping everybody else down, basically. You know, so they're losing their minds. And we'll have a call now. Let's take this call. Mm-hmm. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Okay, I'm Carol Cristobal, and I'm from Chicago.
Hey, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. I actually dedicated my life to fighting racism. I am an older lady, so I can't do as much as far as marching and stuff like that. But I'm online. I do a lot of debating with people. And also, I was adopted as an adult by Native elders. In fact, several tribes mentored me. And when I began working with the Native elders, oh, my God, I saw a whole other side of life that I did not know existed. The racism is not over. It's cowboys and Indians out west, just as like it was 100 years ago. There's so much a despising of the natives. It's unbelievable. And because I am very fair-skinned, many white people, they tell me what they really think. And they don't realize it's hurting me because I have love for my native family. And if it wasn't for my native family, I never would have known unconditional love. Because my own family, there was mental illness, there was problems. And I was picked on a lot by my mother. And so that my native family adopted me. It was almost like Cinderella, really. It was amazing. They adopted me. They shared their best with me. And along the way, I picked up many friends. And learned many, many things. And different tribes mentored me. And I'll tell you, they all have the same basic issues. The same basic issues. And our country and Canada both violate the treaties right and left. They let corporations come in. They let them do illegal logging. They let them do illegal mining. They drill cores looking for valuable uranium or gold or whatever they can find. And then they say, oh, well, we need that valuable metal or uranium or whatever. So we're going to go ahead and violate the treaty. We're going to allow the big corporation to go in there and drill and do whatever they have to do. And they do it. They extract the minerals. Mm-hmm. They don't care if it's a sacred site. They don't care if they disrupt an ancient burial ground. They don't care
all
if
about money.
A poison. poisoned land and sea. The genocide never stopped. Not only that, but when I started studying it, people were reporting in the 80s, I think it was two Lakota women, found a woman was not getting pregnant. She couldn't understand why. She'd come in for something like a tonsillectomy or some minor thing. They went through the records and found out the women were being sterilized against their will, without their consent. This was done in the Indian Health Service, which, of course, is run by the federal government. And and so people said, oh, this has ended. You know, this genocidal policy we discovered as late as 1960s, 1970s, it's ended. It has not ended. They deliberately dump the most harsh chemicals, the radioactives and stuff like this, on or near Native reservations. I was in Alaska, and I saw firsthand a lot of stuff being dumped on and near the reservations. And even in Alaska, they don't tell them. They don't always tell them. They don't seek their permission. They just do it. Now, what that does is radioactive materials, heavy metals and things like this, are tetragenic. They're fetogenic. They kill a developing fetus, or they encourage abnormalities and mutations. So over a period of time, you're slowly, slowly thinning the tribe. It's not obvious because people are getting cancer here, people are getting cancer there. Maybe they die early, they don't get cancer. If they live long enough, they get cancer, okay? So, but it's slow, steady death because they're having more miscarriages. They're having more problems. I know of one area, I don't want to identify it on the phone here, but they had an unusual number of people going off their island, downstate to another state, and these people, very young people, were literally filled with tumors. They were filled with tumors because mining is all over that particular area. The byproducts of mining, cadmium, and some other things are very fetogenic. They kill the fetus in the womb. They cause abnormalities. They cause cancer. That is the reason they're getting that kind of stuff. In addition, they have a rainforest. And to log in the rainforest, they have to remove the brush. They use a topical defoliant, which is related to Agent Orange. So, I mean, when I started investigating, I found a lot of stuff going down. It's called environmental racism. But another word for it is genocide. You know perfectly well that these heavy metals and radioactives are going to leak out. They're going to affect people. And over a period of time, people are going to die at a higher rate. They're going to miscarry at a higher rate. And that's what's going on. And what they do, even though these states are federally mandated to report these abnormalities and all this cancer, miscarriages, they don't do it. They don't do it. Now, I found that out in South Dakota when they had the Standing Rock. Okay, in Standing Rock, I looked at the things in North and South Dakota, and they were federally mandated to report certain diseases that were related to toluene, benzene, and the fracking chemicals. They did not report it. They underreported it. And so they were so they would get an F in reporting. And they also had an area that was highly radioactive from mining. They had a high incidence of brain cancer in that area. Yet they don't want to report it. And I know in Alaska the same thing. They come out looking like there's no more cancer than in any other state. But if you actually dig around, you're going to find out they don't have the stats. Well, they don't have the stats because the native villages don't report well and they're isolated and blah, blah, blah. No, they don't have the stats because somebody is making damn sure those statistics are not known. And of course, some of the some of the youngsters are waking up. This is genocide. It's deliberate.
It is. So, Carol, do you think that the people, like the Native Americans, can come together and file a class action suit against the federal government for doing that? I think it should, because a lot of people dying of brain cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could. They could, but really, they're so powerless. They're 1% of the population. And the mining companies and the oil companies have all the power. Not only that.
And the money.
And the money. You look at the white people, and they are actually buying those politicians. They're behind the scenes pulling the strings. And nobody can really go up against them, white or native or black, because they own everything. So it's a very rough thing. I know of one case where the village got 10,000 people were moved because of high cancer and chemical defoliants on an area where they gathered their food. They do hunting and gathering. And there was an elder that raised hell about it. They tried to get the military to clean it up. They knew it was a problem, but they stalled them for over 20 years. Eventually, the general was replaced, or colonel or whoever he was, high ranking. He was replaced, and eventually somebody came in and they did start cleaning. But only after a lot of people died needlessly. Same thing with Exxon Valdez. You know, you hear that Exxon Valdez was cleaned up. You go and talk to the natives living up there in Valdez. It's never been the same. It's never been the same. No. They can't harvest their fish because the fish are dying and poisoned. Yeah. So, I mean, this is genocide. They wouldn't do this in a white area because hell would be on their back in a white area politically. That's why Standing Rock got mistreated. Because Bismarck, which is primarily urban and white, did not want the pipeline too close to their water source. Of course not. So they rerouted it, coming closer to the native water source, within 40 miles of the Western native water source. Now, the natives are saying, you violated my treaty. And, of course, the state and all the whites in the newspapers published every manner of slander against them and denied it. But they actually won in federal court. How many of you heard that? How many of you know they won in federal court?
Not many.
Almost no media coverage on it. That's right.
No.
Mm-hmm. And on the genocide against the Native women, sterilizing them, you think it's over. Well, it's not over. Not only can they do it by chemical poisoning, such as dumping harsh environmental toxins on their villages or near their villages, but as recently as 2018 in Canada, in four different provinces, think about it, they found women being sterilized without their consent or being forced when they had a baby. So they were told they couldn't hold their baby unless they consented to a sterilization. Now, this is in four different provinces. I'm a retired nurse. When you go into a hospital and you rent the surgery room, everything is accounted in the surgery room. The time, the rooms, down to the cotton balls, it's all charged. Somebody knows about it. There's no way that the surgery room could be used by just one, let's say, one hateful doctor and operating on these women without somebody higher up knowing. There's no way. And to have it occur in four different provinces is impossible without there being an unstated, hidden policy of genocide. So this is now before the UN, as a genocidal thing. We don't know why. I mean, I like Justin Trudeau. He's, he actually made quite a bit of effort to be diverse. But despite Trudeau, despite the conservatives, the liberals, whatever, the change of government did not change the policy of genocide. So who's making the policy? Who's running it behind the scenes? And our country is no better. The same policy is in place. It's the same exact policy. This only they do it indirectly by dumping chemicals on Native and near Native that they know are going to cause death. What I found in North Dakota, and just for an example, there was a young couple had a very rare disorder in their child, very, very extremely rare, in the world. And they were told it was genetic. But what they weren't told is they were living on a former oil spill. The toxins in the ground were very, you know, the toxins, benzene and cumin, are very much associated with liver disorders and blood disorders. So they weren't told that because no doctor in the state would dare say the truth because maybe they were too. You see what I'm saying? I found this over and over again. There were radioactive socks used in fracking. In one reservation, this was the fault of the chief there. He didn't protect his people. But it's also all over the state. They were taking these radioactive socks, and they just dumped them wherever they could. In one case, they found an abandoned farm building, and they put those radioactive things in there, piled them in. In one case, there was some on the back of a truck, and the truck ended up on the reservation. Children playing with the radioactive socks. These are what's already out to people where hazmat to handle them, yet they ended up floating around the rest. This is what I'm saying. When the oil company was only allowed to dump so much radioactive soil in the local dump. So what they did is have a closed-door meeting and rewrote the law to a higher level to favor them. Without any public input, without the farmers and anybody having any say, they allowed them to dump more and more and more. And this is how it goes in every state. If in any state of the union, because I'm in contact with a lot of natives, where there's a conflict over the water or the soil or whatever, it's very typical that the big money corporations come in and they rewrite the laws to higher levels. So what was once a toxic level gets changed to an acceptable level. This is a pattern. But it is a genocidal move because it kills people. It kills them slowly. And so that way we don't have to acknowledge them in any way. And I see in the, additionally, some of the religions today, I was raised Christian. I come from a long line of ministers, but I'm telling you what is being preached today. Number one, it's not biblical. Number two, it's based on Nazi philosophy, the works of R. Rushdoony. I don't know if you've ever heard his name. Mr. Rushdoony was a minister here, and he very much was bigoted, and he very much admired the Nazis. He wrote tons of books on a perfect society. All you got to do is get rid of the ungodly people, and you know who they are. They're the minorities, right? So he, but he doesn't write.
Carl, do you think the United Nations can do anything in remedying the situation where a lot of people have died over the generations and hold these corporations like Koch Industries and whomever as an oil company?
No.
You know?
No, I don't. No. I don't. Because we have enemies in the United Nations and they have limited influence. So what's going to change is us. We have to say, you don't do genocide in my name. You don't do genocide in the name of Christ. And we do have, like I said, Mr. Rushdoony started this perfect society idea. It was taken up. It was rewritten. He called for concentration camps or camps to re-educate the ungodly. It was rewritten as Seven Mountains Mandate. And they left out the bizarre stuff. But this is Christian nationalism. It is a stepchild of German nationalism, and it is very tied to Nazi philosophy. They promised them a utopia if they get rid of the undesirables. They also promised them loot. I've actually tracked online ministers who openly state that it's a war and that there's loot to be had when you wage this war on the undesirables. You can confiscate their businesses, their assets, and stuff like this. And they call it an end times transfer of wealth. People hear that and think, well, you're going to take it from the bad corporations that exploit the people. No, they're talking about taking it from individuals, such as Kristallnacht in Germany, where they just go in and they take your business, they freeze your assets, because somebody decided you were an ungodly person. So this is a cult. There are many of them, the spin-off cults, but they're all related to German nationalism and Nazism. So what has to change is Christians and other religions, but especially Christians. They're going to take back Christianity.
Yeah.
They're going to take it back from the cults and from the Nazis. They have to stand up and say, you're not going to do this in Christ's name. You're not going to do it in our name. And they start fighting for their neighbors. Because the things that are done to Native Americans in this age are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They're just unbelievable. It's shocking when you see the level of abuse.
But, you know, my thing, Carol, is this, that if you're a Christian and you have a church and everything, you get special privilege by not paying taxes. So as once you utter one political word out of your mouth, that's when you lose your tax privilege and you should pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But these white nationalists who call themselves Christian, who back these corporations and these big politicians who, you know, don't really give a damn about people, you know, that's where the problem is. You take Christianity and religion out of politics and we'll have something good.
I agree with you 100%. In fact, that's one of my biggest things I don't understand, and I wish somebody would answer this question. When Trump was in office, one of the first things that these cults did, they approached him. They basically cut him a deal. They're going to bring him Christian votes if he'll cut them some favors and do away with separation of church and state. Well, the first favor they wanted was call the IRS off on us. Because a lot of them were pressed. They were prosperity gospel, and they were living in mansions, and they didn't want to account for what they do with the money. So that was the very first favor. And the second favor was to attack the Johnson Act. And under the Johnson Act, any online or even an ordinary church, any church that endorses a political candidate is in danger of losing their non-for-profit and their tax exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And what really we have now are political groups that nearly hide behind the main church. And they really spend, I've tracked them online, on 90% of their conduct, their content is political. It is not religious, it is political.
Mm-hmm.
And they never endorse candidates. They do engage in what I call indirect terrorism. There's a name for it, just drastic terrorism. I have trouble saying that word, but it's indirect terrorism. So what they do is they don't say harm the president, you know, shoot him, kill him, whatever. They say God says that this president is going to die. This president's going, there'll be two deaths in office, and the president's a demon, and he's this and that, and that, you know, he should be removed. He's a giant. Remove the giants from the land. They use a lot of code words as well to get around the censors.
Mm-hmm.
But in effect, they're issuing threats. And they are giving suggestions. And you know, when you have lots of listeners, you can have one mental ill person take that as marching orders and go out and do some violence. And what these men who call themselves ministers are doing is they're actually engaging in domestic terrorism but hiding behind religion. So if you say you're political, no, you can't criticize us because it's a religion. Yeah, it's a religion when you want it to be. It is political 90% of the time. And they're not enforcing the Johnson Act. And this is what I don't understand. Did Trump do something to the Johnson Act? What did he do that makes it okay for these people to be on YouTube and Facebook and operate without having their IRS tax exempt challenged?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that he cut the IRS workers. He cut them by half. But you would think the Johnson Act still applies.
Yes.
So I don't understand that. But you're absolutely right. This is how they operate.
Yes.
That's all I
Carol,
have.
We want to thank you.
Stop of society.
Yes. We want to thank you for calling, Carol. You are very insightful. Thank you very much. We hope that you call in again. We have different topics every week. Actually, we're on twice a week. And thank you so much. And you said you're from Chicago?
I'm from Chicago, but my tribe adopted me in Canada and I was mentored by several other tribes as well.
So
I'm not an expert, but I that's my job, is to open the door for discussion, because everything that they say used to happen is still happening. It's just being
Done. Absolutely.
Yes.
So
thank you so much. Yeah, that was Carolyn, Chicago, Illinois, and she spoke about the environmental racism suffering by the tribes that she grew up with and everything. And she spoke about the Johnson Act, about how churches pose as interest groups and talk in politics, and they should lose the IRS status of not paying taxes.
Exactly.
She's absolutely right, you know.
Yeah.
And the way, you know, Native Americans are being treated today, nothing has changed, basically.
No, it's horrendous. It really is.
You know, 1% of the population are they're scattered all over America, Oklahoma, Florida, wherever. You know, but these people need to be represented. You know, in Alaska, she talked about the fracking. That's environmental racism. And these corporations are scared about money. They don't give a damn about Native Americans or anybody.
You know, and you're right, David, because it's happening here. Look at Jackson. Look at Jackson, Mississippi, Jacksonville, Mississippi. Their infrastructure is it's been bad for years upon years, and now you know, we talked about that. That was supposed to go for that was going to be earmarked for something else. So yes, that to me is also racism. Absolutely.
Yeah. And
you know,
former Governor Bryant in Mississippi, for example, gave Brett Favre that money, or access to that money that was supposed to help poor people. You know, so that's a form of racism right there. Who's a real welfare queen? Brett Favre is a real welfare queen.
Yeah, he really was. And, you know, even in Flint, Michigan, and I've brought up Flint before, but absolutely, because the big three, you know, they had their plants up there, and they dumped their chemicals into the water there, and that's what happened there, you know, plain and simple. There's no other way. There's no other way that it happened. You know, their chemicals were dumped into the water there. So, yes, and Flint is mainly a black community, absolutely. So, yes, it happens all over. And it's sad.
Yeah, and we have a friend in common, Kelvin, and he lives in Fort Lauderdale. And what happened there, where the coke industry dumped, you know, chemical, you know, up on the hill there, and the fence is off and everything, because what people are finding out from the 60s right on through today was that kids were playing on that big hill, not knowing that chemicals were dumped there. And so a lot of them got cancer, died, all sorts of forms of rare cancers, you know. And so that having a class action suit against them that's been going on for near 40 years now with the coke industry.
And they will never probably see a dime of it.
Yeah. And you know what the coke industries wanted to do? Give each family a settlement of $10,000. Now, what can $10,000 in this day and age do for one family?
Nothing.
I mean, the coke family have what? Billions of dollars. Come on.
Oh, sure. Come on. And, you know, he's had family members that have died, hasn't he? He has. His brother died.
Yes, his mother died.
Kelvin.
His twin brother died. His aunt died last year. His cousins, a whole slew of cousins, sick with rare forms of cancer because they're, you know, this hill just up the road from them. Yes, it's in the water and everything.
Yeah,
it's sad, really.
Absolutely.
We have another call.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. Welcome, caller, to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Well, you know, you call some of these incidents with these water issues as being racist. I guess you figured it's only happened against blacks. But there was about 38 other locations across the country that has worse water than Flint. And I know one in Missouri called Weldon Springs, where during World War II, you had Mallinckrodt Chemical Company that dumped stuff out on the outskirts of the city. Now, this community is white. It's not black.
Okay.
So it's the act. It's not necessarily the skin color. Blacks can commit racism also. You mentioned about Jacksonville, Florida. Not Florida, but Mississippi.
Yes.
They chose to put money to rebuild a stadium because they got a new football coach.
Yes.
Then why come the city didn't use the money to put in the infrastructure for the new water
line?
You know, that particular mayor said, and I knew his father, Chukwue Lumumba, he belonged to a separate organization called the Republic of New Africa, said they wanted to have their five black states, southern states.
Mm-hmm.
But when the son got elected after the father died, unfortunately, in office, he said he's going to have a radical city. So they should have put the money toward fixing the infrastructure, afloat bonds like people in St. Louis County, in North St. Louis County, which is black done, and they put in their own water, new mains and so forth. So we call it what you want to, but it happens to everybody, not just anyone in particular.
Oh,
and that's
and,
what
you know, that is not, you know, that's not the implication that it just happened, but that is the topic tonight. So the we know that it can happen anywhere in the country or anywhere outside of the country. Absolutely,
And racism may be wrong, but it don't necessarily have to be illegal because the definition is so broad nowadays and apply to things that I never recognized back when I was coming up in the 60s and that it's a forever changing definition and new words used. So it's harm against human beings and people. And ever since you had the beginning of man has done bad things, if you want to call it that way. It's difficult to look back into history, but I'm sure it was bad to those that were receiving it and good to those that was giving it and vice versa. It's a human trait.
Yeah.
That's true.
Man to man is unjust, as Bob Marley said.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Man to man.
Right. So, you say in Missouri, how's the political climate there? Because Eric Greitens ran for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate and lost. So, you know, what's the mood and feeling there in Missouri?
Well, I liked Eric Greitens as a mayor. Not a mayor, I'm sorry, governor. He had some new ideas. And I like the state myself. You know, you got the main city, St. Louis, has been Democrat for 72 years, and it looked like a war zone, Kansas City. In St. Louis, you just had three St. Louis City aldermen, Louis Reed and Robert Muhammad and Jeffrey Boyd, indicted federally for taking bribes. And I'm surprised if Louis Reed, he's black, all three of them black, had been in there for a long time. He ran for mayor, and he's taking bribes with Mideasterners who own businesses there. His bribe ticket was a used car, used vehicle. So it's gotten completely out of control. He's a well-educated man, too.
Money will do a lot of crazy things to your head.
Yeah, you're right about that. That really was no money. I don't understand it myself. But no, I'm tired of Democratic rule in North City. Now it's moving out in North County. Property values are starting to drive, and the schools are terrible. It's not the children's fault. It's the parents, the family, and society that those schools are as terrible as they are. They put too much emphasis, I think, on sports. If you got a school where you're performance academic, like Normandy High School, where less than 5% of the students are performing proficiently at math, they shouldn't be playing any sports. You had an interim superintendent who wasn't even certified to be a superintendent. He made a public statement, said that black kids are nothing more than a product, which basically is true. Yes.
Wow.
You had mayor in Normandy, which is close by. His name was Maurice Hunt, and he said if he become elected, he's going to get rid of all the white employees. He's black. And he came close to being reelected.
Wow.
So these narratives,
there's a polarization between black and white, you think, in Missouri?
When Africans come to the country, they move in white communities and have no problems. First, second, and third generation outperform everyone academically and in household income and professions. They do much, much better than native blacks. They move in these areas like Belleville, Maryland Heights. They don't have no problem. And their skin just as dark as Wesley Snipes or Isaac Hayes. So what is it?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
Do you think it's a culture? Do you think music have a part in influence in the culture of African Americans?
Yes, it is the culture. And look at California. And when you're on the music, real quick, California governor just passed a law, which was a bill that was passed by the California legislature, that makes it so that rappers, when they be their lyrics are trifling, and their lyrics create a lot of, you can say that their lyrics is responsible for the actions of young people, just like you want to say that Winchester bullets, although somebody used them to kill somebody, Winchester should be held accountable. Well, they just passed a law and said that lyrics cannot be used in a criminal trial to show that, well, maybe the kids were listening to these lyrics. And there has been incidents, and one comes to mind. It was a movie on where some kids in the movie on a bet laid out on the center line of a highway with traffic going both ways on their back. Well, after watching that video, that movie, you had some instances like that going on in real life with kids trying it, getting killed.
Well, that happens with a lot of things, even with video games and things
like that.
You know, I mean, we cannot.
Grand Theft Auto. You're right.
Yeah, there's really no control over any of that. It's, you know, it would be more parental control than anything else.
Well, I believe you absolutely. Yeah. There should be ratings on these videos, music that's going to be exposed to kids. Anyone less than 20 years of age, 21, should not get to listen to it without parents.
Well, they'll find a way. The thing is that they do find ways to listen to it anyway. I mean,
well, I
understand, that's the bottom
line. The governor of California is saying that you can't hold rappers responsible, but you want to hold, say, Donald Trump responsible because he supposedly told people in the audience to go tear up the Capitol. Maxine Waters tells people on the street to go get in their face and make them uncomfortable.
That's
the same thing.
In my eyes.
No, well, in your eyes, yes. But with Maxine Waters, listen to me, When Maxine Waters tell her woke crowd to get into the face and make them uncomfortable, she's talking about conservatives. When you had a congressional black caucus who has a standing rule that no whites are to be a member of, even though, like Stephen Cohen in Shelby County, Tennessee, which represents Mississippi, he represents his constituency, the majority black, he can't be a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. If you're a conservative, like one black conservative out of South Carolina, a congressperson, he can't be a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. That's racism. Nobody talks about it.
You're right.
I can tell you many more stories. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you for calling. Thank you. Call again.
Yeah, we have a call from Georgia, is it? Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hey, man, it's a hard act to follow when you get a conservative troll to stop by and give you all the conservative rumors of the week. Interesting. So, how y'all doing?
Good.
I'm doing well. So, okay, so first things first, before I say anything, I got to clear up things. So first things first, the bill in California about rap lyrics was not about children being influenced by rap lyrics. This was about, we've seen a few cases in the country where the person who committed an act happened to also mm-hmm. be a rapper, and they were trying to use that person's lyrics as evidence against them in a court of law. So in California, okay. they're saying you're not going to be able to do that to entertainers. So, no, this is not about children. Again, when you go down the conservative rabbit hole, every story starts mm-hmm. off with some truth, and before you know it, it turns into another conservative grievance story.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing.
Yeah, I was not familiar with that story. I mean, I was not familiar with that at all, so I really couldn't say anything.
No, that's okay. So second thing, you said, oh, well, those people in Jackson, they could just, you know, they could do it themselves. They could float bonds and pay for it themselves. No, that's not what happened in Jackson. In Jackson, we have a historic level of not only greed, but grift from the Republican
yep.
legislature. That would be the state government
better
that controls
it.
The budget there. So they've been able mm-hmm. to stop Jackson from getting the budgetary funds to do it. Now, any other thing that mm-hmm. they approve has nothing to do with them getting the water system approved like they need. The interesting side note, the governor now down there, Tate, old Tate, he has a deal with Southern Company, so-called Georgia Power, to where mm-hmm. the residents of Mississippi paid for the nuclear reactors for the power company by being billed before the reactors were built, with the thinking that once these reactors are built, then you guys will save a lot on your bill, so we're going to charge you up front. Now, if you check the
wow.
news last week, you'll notice that they blew up the site. They were demoing the site for where the reactors were going to be. So it was a project, never finished, money just flushed down the toilet. But again,
wow.
those people gave money to his campaign, which is why they were able to pull off such a tremendous stunt. And again, grift from the public. And then lastly, and I'll just leave it alone after this, we can talk about whatever y'all want to talk about. He said, well, you see, that happens to everybody. See, it ain't a racism thing. And then to end the call, he started telling us about how certain conservatives not being allowed in the Congressional Black Caucus. Well, that's racist.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, you guys are reaching. But them not letting whatever raggedy person from South Carolina, and I'm assuming I know who he's talking about, not letting that mm-hmm. person in the Congressional Black Caucus, that's racism. So, yeah, the conservative mind is an interesting thing. When you find a black conservative,
sure
you've got
yep.
a really interesting individual. But, yeah.
Once you jumped on that rabbit hole, it's like, you know, wow, these people think this way. You get what I'm saying? And it,
mm-hmm.
I don't always know how to describe it, but, God, let's just say they're warped.
There was a guy on Twitter years ago. This was during the first years of the Trump presidency. We said ultimately you just have to understand conservatism as this: they think they want the law to protect but not bind them, while also not
mm-hmm.
protecting and binding the ones they don't agree with. So essentially, that's
mm-hmm.
conservative policy. That's all you need to know. So when the
mm-hmm.
FBI is coming after people, oh, this is government overreach. This is ridiculous. Now, when the FBI or the police are beating the hell out of protesters, well, that, you know, they shouldn't have been out there. Oh, well, how come they're not at work?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of how that thinking goes. But
yeah,
I got to give
y'all
a good laugh while I'm here, man. So for those who don't know, Christian Walker, Herschel Walker's son, got on the Twitter
yes.
machine today. He's a little upset.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and I quote, "I know my mom and I would really appreciate if my father, Herschel Walker, stopped lying and making a mockery of us. You're not a family man when you left us to bang a bunch of women, threaten to kill us, and had us move over 6 times in 6 months running from your violence. I don't care about someone who has bad past and takes accountability, but how dare you lie? How dare you lie and act as though you're some moral, Christian, upright man? You've lived your life destroying
mm-hmm.
other people's lives. How dare you?" So that's the son
mm-hmm.
of Christian Walker.
Right,
you know,
Christian Walker.
The one thing that I will never forget is Hurricane Katrina. And, you know, Barbara Bush, when she went to the Astrodome where the refugees were, and they were mainly poor people there, you know, blacks and I'm sure some white people, but I will never forget that she went there and said that the Hurricane Katrina refugees were being housed and the Houston Astrodome were underprivileged anyway, so this is working very well for them. I will never forget that statement because I was floored when I heard that. I thought, are you kidding me? These people have just lost everything. They were probably poor to begin with, and now they're in the Houston Astrodome, and it's better for them? Really? What planet does she live on? That really got me. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I remember.
Yeah, privilege and far
the white
away
privilege.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about life is the kids already get their meme revenge. So if you look up Barbara Bush now and see the meme that the kids spread about her now, that's her reputation. For those who don't know, I would not say it on this show. This is a clean show. But for those who don't know, y'all can look it up and see. But just thinking about right now, like think about the Gen Z kids who kind of had more access to information than we all did growing up. And the things that they're learning – they start to press against society and say, wait a minute, this is not correct. This is not correct. This is actually what happened. And the reaction from society has been, when you look at the CRT stuff, when you look at all the anger, how everything someone doesn't like becomes titled woke. So if someone has a bad breakfast, oh, that woke restaurant.
Yeah.
They messed up my breakfast. Like they turn that into a thing. And Gen Z is watching this and they're watching these people. It's like, wow. Okay. So you'd rather uphold however everything is, status quo, than actually be in, I guess, interested in justice, change, or creating what? A more perfect union? Mm-hmm. All the other promises that those documents kind of have in them. So it's interesting. I'm glad you guys are doing this show, though, covering different things about race. I know I didn't bring up much about race, but.
It's okay.
Oh, no, man. You're calling from Georgia, correct?
That's right.
Yes,
Clay. Yes. Yeah.
It's Clay, yeah.
All right, so thank you so much for calling, man. We
thank
appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Right. Y'all have a good one.
You too.
Yeah. Yes, man. Yeah.
It was
real enjoy when he calls.
Yes. Did you know, let's talk about Governor DeSantis for a minute. Oh, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
It's Governor DeSantis. This is back. I'm going back to January of 22, though. Did you know that he advanced a bill that would ban making white people about racism? And no, that's not a joke. Did you know about that? I did.
No, I have no idea. Tell me more.
Okay, so I'll just read a little bit of it because it's crazy. So we're going back to January of 22. On Tuesday, a bill backed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that would prohibit public schools and private businesses from inflicting discomfort on white people during lessons or training about discrimination was approved by the State Education Committee. It's first hurdle the first hurdle before becoming law. The bill, SB 148, seemingly grew out of the conservative hysteria over the critical race theory, which, as a reminder, is an academic concept based on the idea that racism is not about individuals' people's prejudices, but about institutions' policies. It does not, as GOP lawmakers and their partners in the right-wing media would have us believe, teach that all white people are racist. And as a reminder, teaching CRT is not actually being required in elementary, middle, or high schools. But you wouldn't want to know that by watching Fox News, which viewers believe that teachers are telling white kindergartners to turn over their allowances as reparations. Yes, the bill sponsored by the state senator Manny Diaz Jr. reads in part, an individual, by virtue of his or her race or sex, does not bear responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex, An individual should not be made to feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of his or her race.
Oh, so in other words, because Republicans and certain white people who condone this crap, we feel uncomfortable, shouldn't be taught, the history shouldn't be taught in school.
Right.
So that's what the standpoint is about. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yes.
That's madness. So how can we learn from past mistakes like that without it being taught in schools?
I know.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, in Germany, for example, this is a great example where, you know, in Germany they talk about Nazism. They teach children about Nazism and, you know, how Hitler basically warped the thinking of Germans and are caught on his spell and what have you. They just tell the straight up truth, even in Italy, you know, talk about fascism and how it destroyed Italy. So if they're grown up enough to talk about that and learn from it, well, Italy, you know, fell back by electing the first female, which is good.
Yeah,
but
she's
a right-wing fascist lunatic. You know, so I mean, if you don't teach history, we're doomed to repeat it. I know Ron DeSantis with this SB 128 bill. I mean, that's madness. That's lunacy.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why Florida is like the redheaded stepchild of America, because they're so far out and crazy in their logic. You know? I mean, God.
Yeah.
Who thinks like that, man?
I don't even know. Do they stay up at night? Do they stay up at night to think about that kind of stuff? I mean, do they sleep at all?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, changing the math books in schools, for example, the saying, oh, it's just too woke. You know, it's a math book. You read math problems. What's woke about that, man? You know?
They just lift words out of the air. They just pull them out of the air, and, you know, that's the word for the week. You know, the garbage for the week.
Pretty much. Yeah, but, you know, come hell or high water, DeSantis has to go. We have a good candidate and a Democrat who was a Republican.
Yeah.
Chris, congressman.
Yeah.
He is a Democratic nominee, and hopefully we'll have him on the show soon. And also Elise Plotkin, also Congressman Adam Schiff, you know, AOC, you know, because Republicans who were approached, they're not into coming onto the show. I don't know why.
No.
You know? I'm a friendly chap. You're a nice person. I mean, we'll ask some hard questions. But is that what they're afraid of? You get what I'm saying? And we're nice people, just because they were conservative.
Let's look at it this way. I mean, in my area where I live, you know, District 9 here in Macomb, McLean will not, she will not have a debate with her opponent, you know, Brian Jay. She just flat out won't do it. And but why? You know, that should be part of the election process, shouldn't it? I mean, it should be. You have two candidates. They have opposing views, and you should be able to choose that way. But she will not debate him. And she is a MAGA, Trump Republican for sure.
I know, she was one of the first Republicans in the House, got up on the floor to give those one-minute speeches saying that if the election she lose, then it was stolen. I mean, you know, if she's so confident in her stewardship as Congresswoman, why are you afraid to debate Brian Jay, the Democratic challenger? You know, it's about, you know, talking about ideas, talking about legislation that you put through, what you voted against, what you voted for, who's it helping? Is it helping District 9? You know, so because she can't defend her record, and because she's so inept and out of depth of what
she has no record.
Yeah, all her record is voting no on everything.
Yeah.
You know, and they come back to haunt her because people are waking up saying that, hey, Brian J., let me check this guy's website. Or let me talk to this guy one-on-one, door-to-door, whatever.
Yeah, his signs
you know?
Are popping
and,
up everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, sure, you know, I have the backing of this oil company or
it's
this
in the bag.
Big corporation.
It's in the bag.
You know, so she's taking it for granted that, you know, Brian J. is like, oh, you know, Brian J., he's no threat. But I tell you what, in this election, so much races are so close to call and neck and neck. Look at North Carolina, for example, where, geez, what's her name? Her name's slipping now. But she's running in North Carolina for a U.S. Senate seat, and she's 3 points behind the Republican as a Republican incumbent seat. You know, so, you know, things like that. So if you don't want to debate, fine, but there are consequences for that, and people... And Rand Paul, for example, not showing up in his debates. Because I think he has a safe Republican seat.
Yeah,
you know, come on, come on. People say, oh, so, you know, we don't matter then. You know, GOP Senator Ron Johnson, he denies comments about Black Lives Matter protesters racist. It was on ABC News, for example. He said he would have been concerned about them, but not a Capitol riot. Let me see. So let me read this. GOP Senator Ron Johnson on Monday denied statements made last week about Black Lives Matter protesters were racist, claiming claiming there was, quote, nothing racial about my comments, nothing whatsoever, end quote. The Wisconsin Republican came under fire over the weekend for saying he was not worried about his safety during the January 6th Capitol attack because the rioters were largely, quote, people that love this country, that truly respect law enforcement, adding that he would have been concerned if there had been Black Lives Matter Antifa protests. No, that's not, what he said was racist, you know?
Exactly.
And the killed cops. You know, how can you be as a Republican saying, oh, we're pro-law enforcement, but your supporters murdered law enforcement? You know? I know you want to defund the FBI and saying the FBI, you know, planted things in Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago crap hotel. You know, come on. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't play both ways.
Well, they do.
And,
Yeah. And
you
went on to say...
Go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to tell, you know, I was just going to say, and, you know, he went on to say, had the tables been turned and President Donald Trump won the election, and those were thousands of Black Lives Matter and Antifa protesters, I would have been concerned, Johnson said Thursday in an interview with a local radio host. Johnson faced backlash from Democrats and outside groups who deemed his comments racist and unacceptable. But on Monday, he dug in. So that's what we have.
Yep.
I mean, people like him. You know, it's disgusting.
And let's just make this clear that Antifa is not a group or anything. It's an idea. Antifa, that means anti-fascist. And what the Republican Party today is fascist. You know, Mussolini and Hitler would be proud of their fascism because the Republican Party of Ike and Lincoln don't exist anymore. That ended probably in 1964 when Barry Goldwater was a nominee and the Christians took over the far right, the moral majority, whoever. And it came to head when Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980. So there's no more Republican Party. They're beyond saving. They're a fascist fringe organization. And so when Ron Johnson says crap like this, it's racist, it's insensitive, it's crass, it's disgusting, you know? It's just silly, ridiculous. And Mandela Barnes is a Democratic challenger, giving him a hot run for his money as well. And I hope Mandela Barnes, you know, really whoop him because Mandela Barnes is a grassroots campaign. He's like, you know, getting a lot of contributions from mom and pop stores, you know, individual donations. He's not dependent on corporations because he's not going to be beholden to corporations. And Democrats will surprise the hell out of people across the country come November 8th.
I agree.
I swear to God. It may not be a landslide, but we're going to squeak through some races. Want to talk about Elise Slotkin in Michigan, where she was on a House floor talking about the Veterans Bill. And these Republicans negotiated. It was a bipartisan bill. And these Republicans have the nerve to say, you know, that, oh, you know, in this VA bill, abortion should be in it. They should ban abortion. Look how many veteran women been raped or molested, get pregnant. You know, their life may be in danger. Or who would want to carry your rapist child term? You know, that's unconscionable.
I agree.
I say there are four veterans, Republicans. They're not for, you know, that's just crap things like, oh, you know, if you're raped and you have a baby and it's a gift from God. I mean, come on. You know?
I know, it's disgusting. Yeah,
to me, then God is an asshole if that's the case. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find that thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I'm looking for Elise Slatkin's speech on the floor about that veteran.
Oh, okay.
She really made that topic and everything.
Yeah, she did. It was a good speech. I heard it.
I've never seen this congresswoman angry before, but yeah, she was pissed. She was like, what the hell are you thinking, Republicans? None of you in here are doctors or, you know, take it up with the judiciary, not here. And you know what, it's just men who are trying to legislate this thing against women.
It is mainly men who think they can control women and our bodies. Disgusting.
I have this idiot here, Mark Ronchetti, in New Mexico. He is running for governor. He ran for U.S. Senate and lost pretty badly. And now he's running for governor. I'm predicting he's going to lose badly again. He is a Trumper.
Mm-hmm.
He's a local weatherman for one of the stations. And with that is money, he ran for the Republican nomination again this time for governor. He's just so out there, you know. And as Kay said, from Georgia, once you jump down that QAnon rabbit hole, it's hard to come up. It's like you're drowning in the bullshit they're talking about, you know.
Yep.
So it's so warped. They're thinking, you know, it's just crazy, madness, you know. So here's Ellie Slatkin talking about the VA.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There's been a lot of talk on the other side of the aisle, and I want to be clear. No one in this room is in the judicial branch, and no one in this room that I'm aware of is a medical doctor. If you believe that the provisions that the VA has put forward have a legal problem, you have the right to take up that case and put it through the courts. We are the legislative branch. We make laws. We pass laws. We are not judge and jury. Take it to a court if you're concerned. That is your right. In terms of making decisions on behalf of women, if you want to take a veterans bill and make it about abortion, then let's do it. What you are saying, and you're saying in front of the American people, is that you believe a veteran who has been raped, who is the victim of incest, and who is having a dangerous miscarriage does not deserve access to abortion. You are saying, unless you correct me and tell me what you believe a woman deserves to have when she has been raped, the victim of incest, or is in the middle of a dangerous miscarriage, if you can't state it, then be clear. You believe in no exceptions for women, a cold, heartless, violent approach to women's health. You want to ban all abortions. That is your goal. Many of you have been open about that. And if you flip the House, we know that you will put forward a full ban on all abortion for all states. You've been clear about it. You want to turn a veterans bill into an abortion bill? Let's do it. Not one of you are a medical doctor. Not one of you. What the VA guidelines say is that if you've been raped or the victim of incest or a medical professional deems that your pregnancy is a risk to your health, the one of four women in this country who has had a miscarriage, probably many women in this room, that you are a better judge of who gets to decide the future of their life and not a medical doctor, who do you think you are? You are politicians. We are all on this floor elected officials and not medical professionals. If it was your wife, your daughter, who is suffering through a miscarriage, are you going to tell her she can't until her fever gets high enough, until she's bleeding harder? That's what's happening in the state of Texas right now. If that's what you want for veterans, shame on you. Shame on you. I'm sorry. We built this bill to be bipartisan. I sought your support particularly, sir. And you're making it a political issue. Shame on you. You all have pictures of veterans in your office, proud to show your pride in our veterans. It should be the most bipartisan issue in the world, and you're making it political. Shame on you.
That's Elise Slatkin coming from the great state of
Michigan. Yes.
Yes, Bradley Republican.
That was a great speech.
About those things.
Yep.
Yes, it was. Yep. It was. Special good night to Congresswoman Hale Stevens in Michigan. We'd love to have you on the show with Elisa Slatkin.
Yeah.
Whichever congressperson, whether man or woman, Democrat, hey, and if you're a Republican, feel free to call in though, because as I said, we don't discriminate against each other or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid. We'll have got you questions or anything. Just come, have a little chit chat, tell your voters what you're about and everything. And I guess, you know, when people hear, they'll call in and, you know, talk to you. What are Republicans afraid of? They're afraid that they can't defend the record. You know, for example,
that's right.
You know, and, you know, the voted no on everything, absolutely everything. So how can people vote for them when they're not voting for compromise to work with Democrats to move America forward? You know, how they expect to win, you know? So,
because they think we are all stupid. That's what they think. They really do.
Yeah.
I don't see it any other way. They think that most people are dumb. They don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like here with Proposal 3, mm-hmm. the one of the, and you're supposed to vote yes for pro-choice. They're
mm-hmm.
confusing that bill. And some people will mm-hmm. actually vote no because they don't really understand the bill. So mm-hmm. it is very clearly written, but the ads that are on television actually have some medical professionals saying to vote no now. So
mm-hmm.
that's pretty scary. And people do not research. They don't research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's part of the problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Adam Schiff recently. Yeah, sorry about that. You were saying something
that's
else
okay.
I cut you off. Sorry.
No.
Yeah, okay. So Adam
no,
Schiff.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
It was nothing important.
Oh, okay. So
okay.
Adam Schiff, he was on State of the Union. No, it was Colbert a couple months back. And he was talking
mm-hmm.
About, you know, it's up to the citizenry to protect democracy. And he's absolutely right. If we don't defend our democracy, then, you know,
yeah.
What might come of it? So, yeah, this is him. I play a clip. It was about 3 minutes. And he was on Stephen Colbert's Late Show. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody. We're back here with a member of the Gender 6 Committee, Congressman Adam Schiff. Now, there have been a couple of indictments of people who have defied the subpoena. Navarro this week, Bannon previously. This week, the DOJ, or last week, the DOJ declined to charge Mark Meadows and Dan Scavino, who were both acting White House chief of staff, and Scavino was an advisor or counsel to the president of some regard. What's your reaction to the DOJ not enforcing those subpoenas on those two men?
You know, deeply disappointed and alarmed, because if the Department of Justice is unwilling to prosecute people who are in flagrant contempt of Congress, then it's going to breed further contempt. Other people are simply deciding they too don't need to show up, that a subpoena is, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. The reality is both of them have very direct evidence relevant to our investigation. Both of them have evidence and lines of questions we want to ask them that don't involve any conceivable privilege. So to me, the decision of the department is inexplicable, and it doesn't, I think, herald good news in terms of accountability, because if the department is unwilling to prosecute people who are in obvious contempt of Congress, then what about the more serious crimes involving the efforts to overturn the election?
At the end of this investigation, on the 23rd, which I believe is the last night, which will also be in prime time, what is the best case scenario? What do you hope the outcome of this is?
I hope the outcome is that for Americans that have an open mind, that they will see all of the different efforts that were made to interfere with a free and fair election, by the former president and others, to arrogate to themselves the decision, no, forget about what millions and millions of Americans voted for. It's our inherent right to power. We're going to overturn the election. We'll use violence if necessary. I hope they see just how dangerous that was. I hope that it puts to rest for anyone with an open mind just the extraordinary danger and disaster that was January 6th and what led to it. But mostly I hope that it motivates people to take action to protect our democracy. Because we will take action in Congress. We will work on the Electoral Count Act and other reforms, which we may or may not succeed in getting passed. But ultimately, it's up to the citizenry to protect our democracy. And if we can engage the public and show them the peril and motivate them to do something, then I will consider it a great success.
Congressman, good luck tomorrow. And
well, that's Congressman Alex Schiff from California. He was on Stephen Colbert talking about it's up to the citizenry to protect democracy. And if we think January 6th was bad, then, you know, to me that was just a dry run for what's coming in 2022 or 2024. These right-wing lunatics don't give a damn about democracy. They don't give a damn about the FBI or law enforcement. They don't give a damn about minorities, about women's rights, about gay rights, about immigrants' rights, about workers' rights, about anything. You know, don't give a damn about the Constitution. If there, it were up to them, they'd wipe their asses with the U.S. Constitution. That's how terrible these Republicans are. And we should fight them to the bitter end. And how we'll fight them and how we'll beat them is at the polls. Go to the polls. Register. Go door to door. Get souls to the polls. You know, hit every church. Hit every Kiwanis club. Every Rotary club. Every... every club you can think of, like, you know, like I said, Kiwanis, Rotary, whoever, you know, say, here what, you know, Kiwanis club. You know, this election is important. If Republicans get in there, nothing will be done. They'll impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And guess who will be, you know, president? They'll plenty like Donald Trump's speaker. You know, that's how warped they are. That's how stupid and ignorant and the vile these Republicans are.
On what grounds can they impeach Biden and Kamala Harris?
Well, we've been asking that from time eternity, and the cat said, "Oh no, just elect us, and you'll say, you know, what we have on him," which is nothing. You know, his son, Bo Biden. His son, Hunter Biden, they're going on about his computer and his business dealings. They're still worrying about Hillary Clinton's email. Enough. They did enough investigations on both. Nothing came of it. No law was broken. So move on. The Republicans keep going back to garbage.
They just keep on digging. And, you know, and if you think about it, it's things that really were irrelevant. You know, unlike the insurrection of January the 6th, you know, the things that they bring up to me were irrelevant. And, but they keep pounding away, just like here in Michigan. And I've said this before, you know, they're mad about the masks. They're still talking about masks. It's ridiculous. And that they locked, you know, the governor locked us up, you know, and it's just, and all she did was save lives. And these people can't see past their nose. because they are so they're stupid. I don't even know what else to say. They are just stupid and ignorant, and they prey on people that are dumber than them. I don't know how else to put it anymore. There's no logic. You know, you have to be logical. I just want to read this one thing. There was a study done, it was done on 3,453 people, and it included African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans, whites, and LGBTQ adults, as well as men and women. And they were asked whether to believe they have ever personally experienced various forms of both institutional and individual discrimination. And these are the key findings. Nearly half, 45%, of African Americans experience racial discrimination when trying to rent an apartment or buy a home. 18% of Asian Americans say they have experienced discrimination with interacting with police. Indian Americans are much more likely than Chinese Americans to report unfair police stops or treatment. Nearly one in five Latinos have avoided medical care due to concern of being discriminated against and treated poorly. 34% of LGBTQ Americans say that they or a friend have been verbally harassed while using the restroom. And 41% of women report being discriminated against in equal pay and promotion and opportunities. There you go.
Yep. Yeah.
And I agree with a lot of that. It does go on, you know, women, especially in the workforce, you know, to get your promotion or,
Just Republicans are just not good people. They're not good people.
Yeah. Nope.
That should not be. If they're for small government, why the hell are they running for office, man? If you want small government, don't run for office, you know?
Yes.
Makes sense.
They're not for small government. It's all bullshit. They are not for small government. You know, if they want to get abortion, you're not for small government because you are trying to control millions of women's lives. How is that small government?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, they want government out of people's lives, but yet still they want a government in people's bedrooms. You know, how dare you, Republicans?
It's all BS. It's all BS.
Mm-hmm.
All smoke and mirrors. You know, that's for sure. There's nothing else to say about it except that. And I want to ask one more last thing. This is really doesn't have anything to do with racism, but it might end up being DeSantis in Florida with this hurricane. He's got his hands full. He's not going to be able to get out there and, you know, get out there and run his campaign. What do you think is going to happen with that, David? He doesn't look too happy these days.
I'm here today.
I hope he falls flat on his face. He's not a good person, like every other Republican out there. Just a few handful of Republicans who are good people, but unfortunately, they may not be running for re-election. They were censored by their state's Republican Party. Or, like, let's change their, you know, primary dog and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, as one Republican friend of mine was saying to me the other day, this is not the Republican Party I get more. And there's no saving the Republican Party. You know, so.
You know, the other thing is I just wanted to mention there was a rally here, a Trump rally here. It was at the college, not in the college, but it was in that area by one of the colleges, and about a half hour away from here. And after 15 minutes, I saw a video because, of course, I did not go, but I did see a video because he started complaining about how crucified he is, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 15 minutes, people started leaving. They said that there was probably only 6,000 people there, if that. And then after 15 minutes, they started to walk out because all he did for an hour, I guess, was talk about how he's being, you know, treated and et cetera, poor Donald Trump. That's what he talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's full of himself. He has this ego that needs to check and trust.
And boy, was his makeup orange. I saw some pictures of him on Twitter.
Do you think his makeup artist is clowning him?
Yes, I do. Because I am telling you, it was the most orange I've ever seen.
Right.
It was actually funny. I looked at him and I thought, oh my God, he's more orange than he's ever been. It's hysterical,
like a clown.
Really. Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the hearing. Did they say when they're going to be on?
No, they haven't said yet, but hopefully it's soon.
I think they said before the midterms they were going to be on. I don't know if they're going to have one or four. They didn't really say yet. But I can't wait. And who was – he was in his Trump administration. He looked like a Nazi, the black hair, dark hair, skinny. I can't think of his name at this moment.
Stephen Miller. Is it Stephen Miller?
Yes,
the Nazi fascist bastard,
Yes, one of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the ones they interviewed. I can't wait if he came forward. I can't wait to hear that interview. And I can't believe somebody married him. Ugh.
Yeah, they even reproduce. Good Lord. Well, anyway, Rashid Tlaib, Congresswoman, 13th District, Michigan. Big shout out to you. You're doing a great job and everything. I remember a couple years back, it was in February 2021 when she gave an emotional speech on the House floor. I play 2 minutes, 45 seconds of it. You know, she is a woman with passion because remember, she was just a regular teacher going about her business. Donald Trump came and she had a confrontation with Trump. Trump had her kicked out. And she said, you know what? I'm going to run for Congress, you know, against a popular Republican. And she whooped his ass.
Yep.
You know, so special shout out to her and AOC and the passing members, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, District 5, and from Massachusetts, Congresswoman. Oh, my brain is dead tonight. I don't remember. The congresswoman from the 7th District in Massachusetts. Her name will come back to me eventually. But here is Rashid Tlaib having an emotional floor speech.
It's one. Sarah loves me each time. So what happened on January 6th, all I could see was thank Allah that I wasn't here. I felt overwhelming relief, and I feel bad for Alexandria, so many of my colleagues that were here, but as I saw it, I thought to myself, thank God, I'm not there. I saw the images that they didn't get to see until later. My team and I decided at that point we keep the death threats away. We try to report them, document them, to keep them away from me, because it just paralyzed me, and all I wanted to do was come here and serve the people that raised me. The people that told my mother, who only had eighth grade education, that she deserved human dignity. People that believed in me. And so it's hard. It's hard when my 7 brothers and 6 sisters beg me to get protection, many urging me to get a gun for the first time. And I have to tell you, the trauma from just being here, existing as a Muslim, is so hard. But imagine my team, which I lovingly just adore. They are diverse. I have LGBTQ staff. I have a beautiful Muslima that wears her hijab proudly in the halls. I have black women that are so proud to be here to serve their country, and I worry every day for their lives because of this rhetoric. I never thought that they would feel unsafe here. And so I ask my colleagues to please try not to dehumanize what's happening. This is real. And you know, many of our residents from the shooting in Charlottesville to the massacre of the synagogue, all of it is led by hate rhetoric like this. And so I urge my colleagues to please, please take what happened on January 6th seriously.
Yes, that was Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib from... She made an emotional plea to all Republican colleagues to stop the letter and everything. It was a great speech. We'll have to have her, I'm sure. I love that woman.
She's awesome.
Yes, man. So, yes, and she gets a speech from...
We have some good representatives in our state. Michigan has some good representatives. We just need to get rid of the GOP trash. Absolutely.
We'll have 3 minutes. We'll have one more call. I'm going to take this call right now because we'll have to wrap up soon. Hello, Carla.
Sure.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Hello, Carla.
Hello.
Do you have a question or a comment?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, wonderful. Uh-huh. This is Jackie from Missouri.
Oh,
hi,
Jackie.
Diane.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm calling in so late. I've been working 12 hours today. I know you're running short on time, but I noticed that you're still on the air and that your show tonight was about racism, and I wish I had a cure for that. But, like, you know, Diana Ross says, and Dionne Warwick, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, because I think the only thing that's gonna triumph and kill racism in its tracks is going to be people are going to have to, maybe we're going to have to hit rock bottom and see each other as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not as anything else. Just recognize a fellow human being and love and respect. The way that racism has affected me personally, I lived in Flint, Michigan for 4 years, and I had never experienced racism towards me, like someone who I don't even know, who doesn't know me, hates me because of the color of my skin and would attack me or maybe, you know, rear in my car just because I'm a white woman driving alone. And that happened to me in Flint. My husband from Hawaii. We went over there for our anniversary or for our honeymoon, and I was called Howley, which is the equivalent to the N-word, but it's for white people over there. And And so my husband's brother has a big construction company over there. My husband's an excellent carpenter, and he's begging my husband for years to come over and work and be head of his team. We could live in Hawaii, you know, and he would have a great job, making great money. But I would probably not be able to get a job, and if I did, I would have to face that every day. I cannot imagine living with that kind of hate and suspicion constantly surrounding me. It's no wonder that people of color have high blood pressure and hypertension and die. They don't have near the lifespan that white people do. I want to apologize right now. My name is Jackie Penny, and I want to apologize to color for everything that they have to deal with every day.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm a school bus driver,
and I have lots of kids on my bus, and I do sow seeds of kindness and love. Our theme on my bus is N-O-H-8, no hate.
I'll let you all go, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
We'll talk
love
to you again. Thank you.
Yes,
we'll
try and call in more often. Good night.
Oh, good.
Yeah, ma'am.
Good night.
Good. Yeah, that was Jackie from Missouri. So there are two Missouri calls, one from Chicago, Illinois. We thank Carol for calling in, talking about the plight of Native Americans in her state. With Clay in Atlanta, and the gentleman from Missouri. Yeah, we thank everybody for listening and calling in and sharing on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Till Thursday, same time, same place. This is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. And everyone stay safe. Love each other. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.